It's always a privilege to make known the message of the gospel, and a privilege to be here just to do it this Sunday afternoon at Spencer Bridge Road, and we're glad to see you all. And I would like to take a Bible reading from the Epistle to the Colossians and chapter 1. The Epistle to the Colossians and chapter 1. It'll be quite a brief reading. Chapter 1 of Colossians, and we read at verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And just one more verse later in the chapter, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And that's our reading. We trust the Lord's blessing upon his word. We live in a world where there are many messages of all kinds, and so many different ways of communicating messages. Even while we are here just now for these minutes, for this half hour, there'll be all kinds of messages circulating the planet, bouncing off satellites, and the world in which we live is filled with more messages and communications than ever. Some of them important, some of them unimportant, some of them interesting, some of them unusual, some of them alarming. Well, out of all the messages, I have no doubt that the greatest message that was ever communicated is this good news which God sends to human beings. This message which the Bible describes as the message of the gospel. We have read today two expressions that I want to highlight just at this point in my message. In one of these verses, we have read about the word of the truth of the gospel. The word of the truth of the gospel. And then a little bit later in the chapter, in verse number 23, we have read the expression, the hope of the gospel. Well, those are two great commodities, aren't they? The truth of the gospel and the hope of the gospel. These are two things that are very closely and vitally connected with this good news which God sends. Number one, there is truth. Number two, there is hope. I say they are very valuable commodities because they're rather scarce. We live in a society where, well, there's a lot of deception. People hardly know what to believe. People are very cautious about giving their confidence to so many things that they hear. So many false reports. So much fake news. So many scams. I was reading and hearing the other day about a friend of a friend who lives in South Africa, and the dear lady has just been scammed of £800,000. Well, that'll never happen to me, but so I can rest comfortable. But she thought she followed it through, and it was all so convincing and winsome, and she followed it through, and now she believed the wrong thing. There was no truth. It was an empty sham, and she's now 800,000 the poorer of what she believed. It's a world of delusion, a world of deceit. It's a world of disappointment, fading dreams. Not only is there a scarcity of hope, but there's a scarcity of truth. There's a great scarcity of hope. People look out into a world that is just torn with war. We hardly know what we're going to hear next, and so many promises that just seem to evaporate and they come to nothing. And the rainbow of hope has almost disappeared from the sky of human history. So there's not too much truth and there isn't very much hope. We have them both. This great message of the gospel, this good message, this glad message that comes from God, it's a message which embodies both of these things. There is truth. It can be believed. You can put the feet of your faith firmly upon this message. You can rest your weight entirely upon the message of the gospel, and you can prove its reality by the fact that it will hold you up. It will be a good foundation, and it will not only give you a foundation for the present, it will give you great prospects for the future. The truth of the gospel and the hope of the gospel. You might say to me today, what really can the gospel do for people? Why has God sent this message into the world? Why should I come to a meeting like this to hear the gospel message? Why should I believe the message of the gospel? Is there anything it can do for me? Or will it just be like one of those other messages? Will just peter out and come to nothing? Well, I tell you, there are great things that the message of the gospel can do for human beings. Just human beings like ourselves, living in bodies that are marked by decay and death, carrying day by day the freightage of an eternal soul into another world. We need a message like the message of the gospel, and it can do great things for us. I want to mention perhaps five. I'll put one on each finger. Five things which the gospel message can do for human beings, and five things which they really need. The first thing that we've read about it here today, the first thing which the gospel can do for, it brings us into a new family. What family? Can bring you into heaven's family. Bring you into God's family. We have read in one of these verses that there are people upon earth and they can speak to God as their Father. I have that relationship with God. I have the confidence today that I am a child in His family, that He is my Father, that I'm absolutely sure that I will be with Him in glory and in heaven. And I can remember very clearly in my own experience the day when I was brought into God's family. You've already heard that my name is Gilliland. Well, quite a number of years ago, in the month of June, in such and such a year, I was born into the Gilliland family. But then a number of years later, as a boy, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and that very moment, I was born into God's family. And I was brought into a new relationship, and I was brought into a new realm, and I became the recipient of a new life. You say, "Well, I am one of God's children." Are you sure? Are you sure? I used to work with a man, and he used to say to me, "I said, well, David, you know," he said, "I hear some of these people preach from the Bible that there will be people who will go down to hell." And he said, "I don't like that." And he said, I don't believe that God would send any of his children down to hell. Well, he was right. He was right. God will never send any of his children down to hell. But then there is another issue that we have to think about. We are not all God's children. We are all God's creatures. God has created us in his own image, and because we are God's creatures, we have an existence that will last for the ages of eternity. But only those who have been born again have become God's children and have received a place in God's family. So I ask you today, have you had an experience? Can you look back across the landscape of your life? And you could put your finger on a point. You may not be able to tell me the date on the calendar or anything like that, but you can put your finger upon an experience and say, it was there. It was then. I heard the message of the gospel. I discovered my need, and I trusted Christ, and God is now my Father, and I'm one of his family. You know, everybody would like to go to heaven. And that is all very understandable. And I would say this afternoon that heaven is God's home. But before we get to God's home, we have to be members of God's family. And so we need to be born again. You say, well, what is wrong? What's the problem? Why am I not in God's family? What family do I belong to? Well, that's a very simple question. The Bible answers it for us. We belong to what the Bible describes as the family of Adam. Adam was the first man. Way back in the early chapters of the Bible, the story is told that Adam sinned against the God who had created him. As a result of Adam's sin, it is filtered right down the generations, and every one of us who is a member of Adam's family, we've been born into this world as sinners. And because we are sinners in Adam's family, there must be a great change that we might be born again and brought into God's family. So let's be clear, dear. Let's be absolutely clear from the standpoint of the Bible. The Bible tells us that there must be a great change, a deep change, a heart change that takes place with every human being. That's what the Lord Jesus told that very, very respectable religious man in the Bible. He said, ye must be born again. So, one of the things which the gospel can do for human beings, it can bring them into a new family. There's a second great blessing. And it's great to know that God is your Father. You know, many people across this land, they have maybe dozens of times, they have said the so-called Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. Many of the people are sincere. But I would tell you, dear friend, you can never really call God your Father until, as I've just been describing, you have been born again and brought into God's family. A second thing that the gospel, great blessing which the gospel brings to human beings, is not only a new family, but it brings to people a complete forgiveness. Oh, that's a great blessing. That's something that's well worth preaching about. That's something that's well worth advertising. We have read here today that in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Well, I say that's something well worth talking about. The forgiveness of sins. How many sins have you committed? I would guess there's no one here could tell me how many sins you have. I couldn't tell you how many sins that I have committed. Say we only committed 10 sins a day. 3,650 sins in a year. Nearly 40,000 sins in 10 years. And as the time goes by, the sin becomes greater, and the mountain, it gets bigger, and it just increases as time goes on. I say, dear people, isn't it great to know that the message of the gospel tells people how they can have their sins forgiven? I'm glad to announce this afternoon to all of you people that all the sins of my life, they have been completely cancelled. And they have been completely cleared. And they have been completely carried away. My sin was once like a burden. But that burden has been carried away. My sin was once like, I was going to say, a black balance. It was a bad balance. I was seriously in debt. That balance has been completely cleared. And my sins are forgiven. Isn't that a great blessing? Have your sins been forgiven? One of the things that comes up in the scriptures is some of these beautiful pictures. God tells us, for example, as far as the east is from the west. That's like the forgiveness of sins. Completely put away. There's another passage of the Bible tells us God can blot out sins just like a cloud. You look out some of these days that we see the sun, you see a cloud in the sky. After maybe half an hour, that cloud moves. Doesn't even leave a single mark. When the cloud is moved, the sky becomes blue. You cannot even see the outline where the cloud had been. God said, that's what it is like when I forgive sins. I completely remove the record and I make it completely clean, and not the slightest trace can ever be found again. I say that's a great blessing to have. A new family, God is your Father, and the forgiveness of sins. But you say, well, I want to know more about that blessing, because it comes at a great cost. If we are going to have our sins forgiven, someone will have to pay the price. I think we all know that. We all know that when sins are committed, there's a price. Sin is always costly. You say, who can pay the price for our sins? In fact, there's a lady, she lived back in Ireland, not too far from where I live, and she wrote a very famous hymn. And in the hymn, she says something like this: there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. Christ only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to do us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved through his precious blood. I say, all you dear folks this afternoon, gentlemen and ladies, that's why the Lord Jesus walked out of the city gate of Jerusalem one day, 2,000 years ago. He carried a cross upon his back. In a short time, the cross carried him. And for 6 hours, he suffered. His precious blood was shed. And when he died upon that cross, he paid the mighty penalty of sin. You say, how much did he pay? Did he pay 80%? No. Did he pay 90%? No, dear friend. He paid 100%. We sing in one of these great gospel hymns, such was the sacrifice that Christ made. God's law can ask no more. Not one cent was left unpaid when Christ the judgment bore. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. My sins had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. There are people here today, and they have the absolute assurance from the Bible that having trusted in Christ, they know this blessing. Their sins are gone. Their sins are forgiven. Their sins will never be found again. I say that's why we have meetings like this. That's why we preach the message of the gospel. There are great offers. These are not the kind of offers you would find in, I don't know, Morrison's, is it, or Waitrose, or Marks and Spencer's, or something like that. Some of those offers, and they change. Sometimes they're on, sometimes they're off, and sometimes they're not very good. These are great gospel offers, purchased by the precious blood of Christ. We can take them with an empty hand. His hand was pierced with cruel nails at Calvary. And dear friend, through this blessed, wonderful, loving, lifting Savior of the cross, he can bring us into a new family. He can give us a complete forgiveness. There's another blessing. We've read about it here in one of these great verses. He can give us a glorious freedom. A glorious freedom. It tells us in the text that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. People who have trusted Christ, they have a deliverance. They're set free. They have redemption. That's the big word that the Bible uses for setting people free. You know, that is one thing that happens when people have their sins. It not only brings them into debt, spiritual debt, it also brings them into bondage. I meet people regularly, and you would see them, sin, it binds them, makes them captives. They have certain habits, and they have addictions. They cannot make themselves free. And no matter how much they try, no matter how many attempts they have at self-improvement, they don't seem to be any better. But dear people, I'm glad to tell you, there's a Savior, and he not only can forgive our sins, he can set us free. One of those good old gospel hymn writers, Mr. Wesley, he wrote in his hymn, "He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood avails for me." We have redemption through his blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in Christ's blood. Dear friends, there's a Savior. He can set us free from our fears. He can set us free from judgment. He can set us free from the chains and the fetters of sin. I'm glad that we can find a freedom in Christ, and be able to move about through life. Great if you could go to bed tonight and put your head upon your pillow, free from fear, free from any dread. Rise up tomorrow morning, the joy of salvation in your soul. Go about the business of a day just with the gladness of the gospel and the grace of God in your very heart. Just free and at liberty, free from the bondage of sin. Another thing that I'll mention just very quickly. So I hope you, this is what the gospel can do for, brings them into a new family, gives to us a complete forgiveness. We can have a pardon because on the cross the Lord Jesus paid the price. Gives to us a glorious freedom. And also gives this message of the gospel, it gives to us a guaranteed future. Can I ask you just now, what is your future? As you look out into the future, what does it hold? When you leave earth, and leave earth and go to eternity, I ask you, what will your future be? As far as I'm concerned, I can say with confidence this afternoon, I'm absolutely sure that my future will be with God and with Christ in heaven forever. I've no dread, I've no doubt. I've no misgivings. I'm absolutely sure. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We are told, actually, about these people in the verses that we read from the Holy Bible, that they've been made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm going to a land where there'll never be another cloud. I'm going to a land where the sun will never set. I'm going to the glory land where all will be bright and fair. No death, no pain, no curse, no shadows. I say, people, it's great to be on the way to heaven. There are some in this room. Just as sure as we are in this hall today, we're sure that we'll be in heaven for all eternity. And what has given us that great assurance and the confidence is this message of the gospel. We can never forget that in order that we might go to heaven, one day there was a Savior came from heaven. He left the bright abode of everlasting glory, and he stooped and he stepped into our world, and he died upon the cross, and he rose again, and he has gone back to heaven. And all who trust in him are absolutely sure of a future in everlasting glory. I have to be fair. I have to be honest with this Bible before me, that the same book that tells me about heaven for those who know the Savior is the book that also tells me about hell for those who die in their sins. That's why in our gospel meetings we are very serious. We are a happy people, but dear friends, we are a serious people. The Lord Jesus himself told his audience on one occasion, he said, you'll die in your sins if you believe not that I am he, and where I am, ye cannot come. All of us know this afternoon where Christ is. He's in heaven. He said, if you die in your sins, where I am, ye cannot come. Dear people, if you cannot go to heaven, there is only one alternative. But thank God, we can tell you today that there is a passport, a clear passport marked with the precious blood of Christ, and it guarantees a place in everlasting glory. A family, a freedom, a forgiveness, and a guaranteed future with the Lord. You say this message, this is a great message, as you say. This is a message that gives special offers. And you might ask me just before I stop, how do I get all these things? You say, I would like to know that. How do I get into God's family? How do I obtain that forgiveness? How do I experience that freedom? How can I be sure that I have that great future? What do I have to do? How many pounds do I have to pay? How many prayers do I have to say? How many services do I have to attend? How many promises do I have to make? How many pledges do I have to keep? Oh, I'll tell you, this is one of the greatest features of the message that we tell you, dear friend. It doesn't cost you a penny. Not a prayer, not a promise, not a pledge, not a pound. It doesn't cost you. You say, well then, how do I obtain these golden blessings? And they are golden blessings. Well, we have read the word in the text. It's faith. Say faith. Everybody has faith. What is faith? God will give these blessings on the principle of faith, not works. God doesn't give these blessings on the principle of merit. You don't get these blessings because you deserve them. You don't have these blessings because you work for them or because you earn them. You receive these blessings with an empty hand, just by faith. You say, what kind of faith? Is it big faith? Is it small faith? Is it strong faith? Is it weak faith? Well, we'll have to... just before I came here the other day, I had to send a letter had to send a letter to North America. So I wrote the letter, put the address on it, and I dropped the letter in through the letterbox. And I put my trust in the letterbox. You say, where is your letter now? I have no idea. You say, what is the process? I have no idea. I'm depending upon Royal Mail to deliver that letter. I can't understand it. I'm not aware of all the nuts and bolts. I'm not aware of all the in-between pieces, but I'm hoping that by the services of Royal Mail, I've used them dozens of times, and nearly always delivered my letters. And that's why I dropped that letter in through the letterbox, and I went home, and I was all worried, and I wondered, and I scratched my head, and I couldn't sleep worrying. No, I put the letter in, that's it. I depend upon them. As soon as my fingers let the letter go, I was depending upon them to do it all for me. But of course, as I've already hinted, there is just the possibility that Royal Mail could let me down. And although I have trusted them, it might be misplaced trust because they could fail. But I want to encourage you, dear friend, it's not just faith, not just vague faith. People say, oh, I have great faith. Listen, what brings these blessings is faith in Christ. And he will never let you down. There is no possibility of any fault, of any failure with him. And I'm glad that I can announce, as I bring the gospel meeting to a conclusion, faith in Christ will save you. Sinner, trust God's living Son. Trust the work that he has done, and to his arms now quickly run. Faith in Christ will save you. And the book says, this good old book of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Dear friend, there's a Savior. He's true. He's tender. He's trustworthy. He's triumphant. I'm asking you, just as I bring my message to a conclusion, will you trust him? If there is one person here today and you say, I will take Christ as my Lord and Savior, I will trust him now. This Sunday in June 2024, I can say on the authority of God's word, dear friend, the moment you put your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus, that very same moment, you'll be brought into God's family. That very same moment, you'll receive a complete forgiveness. That very same moment, you will be a free person. And that very same moment, you'll be guaranteed a future with God and with Christ in heaven forever. I trust that even the message of the gospel, this great, glorious, glad, gracious, guaranteed, global message, may God grant it will be a blessing even to some heart this afternoon. Thank you for listening. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father, again we bless thee for the message of salvation. We are glad that thou didst ever look in mercy, love,